Good morning and welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, although the little on-air sign isn't on.
Sorry, my bad. There you go.
I was going to say.
A little late on that.
If we're not really on air.
Then why bother, right?
That's right.
Now we are.
Our listeners are in for a treat today because I know a lot of folks have asked questions about the senior market. And when I say senior market, I'm sure there's a better way of addressing it. And I'm going to ask our guests today. That might not be the right terminology, but those that are aging or may have special needs, we have a show for you today. And if you have a parent or loved one or friend that could use the services, sit back because a lot of information in one show. First up this morning, we have Jeff Whitehouse, and he is the owner and president of Home Watch Caregivers. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
First question for you, though, is Home Watch is a franchise, right?
Yes, it is.
We have a lot of franchise owners on the show, and we have a lot of listeners that are entrepreneurs and small business owners, and I always have to ask, there's so many franchises out there, but what made you select this particular one?
Well, they have a reputation for actually screening the people that own the franchises. Mm-hmm. So they're not just trying to, you know, give a franchise to anybody that comes along. They're very particular. The franchise has been in business over 30 years, which makes it one of the oldest. And in terms of size, we're in 7 different countries.
Wow. That's big. But the senior market, I mean, I guess there are certain things that are fads or trends, whether it's soft serve yogurt or a pet grooming franchise. There are always going to be people that are aging. But do you have a history in that market, or what made you select the senior market?
Well, I've been in the business for a little bit over 3 years right now. And I do have a passion for people in my community and seniors. Haven't seen what my grandmother's gone through back home up north, and the difficulties it puts on the family kind of, you know, lent a passion to providing care for seniors.
So maybe let's start at the beginning. How does someone know if a senior or someone, a parent, relative, needs your services?
Well, you start to see some changes, you know, with your loved one. They might have trouble. It might be something as simple as getting up and down the stairs, in and out of the bathroom. Perhaps you might see some abnormal behavior that you never noticed before. Could be just, you know, little things, decrease in social activity. Maybe they used to go to church every Sunday, and now they don't really feel motivated to go to church anymore. Just changes in behavior.
How do the with the people being so spread out around the country now, a lot of the kids aren't near their parents. So how do they kind of keep up with that?
Well, that's kind of what brings businesses like us into play is that the way the country is, with people spread out throughout the country right now, it's not always possible for the family to be present and to care. Also, there's people are working much later in life. They're working much longer hours, and that doesn't, you know, lend itself to you being able to be there for your loved one.
For sure. Now, your services, are they nurses? I mean, tell us a little bit about your caregivers.
The bulk of our staff are certified nursing aides, CNAs.
Okay.
We do have a nurse on staff, but most of the care is delivered by certified nursing aides. And they're trained.
What's a certified nursing aide?
They're trained in order to help with issues like mobility, medication reminders, personal hygiene, incontinence, just in general help, cooking, cleaning around the house, transportation, just basically anything that's needed to keep the senior safe and secure, try to promote as much independence as possible.
Right.
And what about Alzheimer's or dementia? I mean, I know that you hear more and more about Alzheimer's. Do you think it's safe for someone to stay in their home with care at that level, or what are your thoughts?
Well, Alzheimer's has a path that's normally somewhere between 7 and 12 years. And as that disease progresses, it definitely is a situation in which you're going to need hands-on care. Towards the beginning, you know, with some support, with some proper resources, somebody can be taken care of independently in the house. But as it progresses, you're definitely going to need help.
And if I were hiring someone to take care of my mom, what are some of the things I should look for? I mean, would I meet with one of your caregivers before?
Yeah, we offer the opportunity to meet the caregiver ahead of the actual care starting. But typically, it's myself or my director that go out there, sometimes accompanied by a nurse. We do an assessment. You know, go over all the services with the client prior to starting.
Now, is the client typically the senior, or is it a family member of the senior?
Oftentimes, it is a family member, and in my experience, usually it's the eldest daughter. Eldest daughter is
so all
is
you elder daughters out there, this is on your horizon, right?
Correct.
I'll leave that to my sister then. Wow. So tell us a little bit about, like, just in the senior market, what are some of the things that you need to do to keep them healthy and well? I mean, you mentioned that about their lack of desire to go to church, which, by the way, Lee, when I stop applying chapstick and brushing my hair, then you need to worry about
that's
me.
That's it. I check the chapstick in your purse. If it's not there, then...
If my Burt's Bees isn't there, you should worry about me. But I'm sure it's probably a little bit different for everyone. But what are some of the common things?
Well, just your basic nutrition and exercise is, you know, one thing that you hear a bunch. But nutrition and exercise is important to keep people healthy. Social involvement is also big. You know, mentioned them not going to church, but somebody being by themselves and not having the opportunity to interact with family, friends, neighbors, often it is unhealthy. And it's nice to get them involved as much as possible.
Now, what is it better for them? Like you mentioned, the importance of socialization is. Is it better for them to then move to like a senior home? Like, what's the
kind of
the pros and cons of staying in your home longer or going into an area where there's a bunch of people your age?
Each case is a little different, but again, in my experience, most of our seniors are happiest staying at home. Uh-huh. So, if proper resources and support can be there for them to stay at their house, then you know that's typically what keeps them happy. But there sometimes is a point where advanced care is needed, and a facility might be the best option for the family.
Now, isn't a facility way more expensive?
It depends on the facility. There is a great range in cost in facilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them are relatively inexpensive, and then some of them go up to $8,000-$10,000 a month.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. And you're really involved in the community, too. Is that usually how people hear about your services? Or, I mean, how do you get the word out?
Yeah, different ways. But I'm very active in my community. We do several nonprofit work in the community, helping seniors that can't afford to do home repairs. We do free home repairs for seniors in our neighborhood through the nonprofit community work that I do.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
All good stuff.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts for our listeners about home watch caregivers? Because it's not just the seniors, too. You would help any age.
We provide care for all ages, not just the aging senior population, but also children, adults recuperating from procedures and surgeries.
If I blew out my knee or something, your staff can come and kind of help until I get back on my feet.
That's right. Help you get back on your feet.
Right.
That's a great service. I think I'd like to hire him just to come play cards with me sometimes. wouldn't it be nice just to have someone to come
to
hang out with
you?
For
a companion?
Yeah.
It's an untapped market.
That didn't sound good, Lee. But I definitely get the point of the need for interaction, because if someone's by themselves all day and doesn't have someone checking on them, even if it is just for interaction or a trip to the grocery store or just companionship, I definitely would see the need for that. And how can folks reach you if they're interested in learning more?
Give us a call. Our office number is 404-521-0404, and we're Home Watch Caregivers of Atlanta East.
And do you have a territory that you cover?
Mostly DeKalb in Fulton County, but we can handle pretty much anybody in the Atlanta area or outside the Atlanta area.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Great information. Great information. All right. Thanks for being with us today, Jeff. And we may open it up in the end, too, just to see if anybody has any final thoughts, since everybody's kind of related here. It's all in one big happy family. Our next guest this morning, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Sarah, welcome. From My Access. I can't read my own writing. My Accessible Home.
Accessible.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about My Accessible Home.
Well, we are a home modification company whose focus is to help people be able to age in place and remain in the home that they love, even if their mobility needs change.
All right. So tell us about some of those common changes would be.
Well, I'm a geriatric social worker, and I have been for the past 20 years. And the biggest obstacle I found is people's mobility changes. The barriers that are most commonly seen in the home are the thresholds and the bathrooms. In fact, 80% of falls actually happen in the bathroom.
I can see that.
What are they falling on? They just slip on, losing
their balance. Yeah, mm-hmm. Typically bathrooms are smaller spaces and there's lots of hard surfaces. So it creates, and wet, of course,
mm-hmm.
after bathing. So it creates an environment that's really prone to see accidents occur.
So how do you make a bathroom safer?
Well, first we look at how people function, and then we come in and look at grab bars at minimum are really important as people get older.
Mm-hmm.
I joke with my husband, sometimes I think I need a grab bar myself, and I'm mm-hmm. only in my early 40s, because it gives you something to grab onto and be safer and feel that sense of independence that you want as you get older.
Right. So you just need a little help. You don't need like a major modification. Right, you just need a little something.
Me, myself?
Well, not you. Like your clients.
It just depends. You know, our clients range in so many ways, from the senior that just says, look, I know that I want to remain in the home that I'm in, and I'm okay physically right now, but I could just use a little bit of extra support to make sure that I don't lose my balance.
Right.
And then there's lots of them that call us after they've had a major change in functioning from, let's say, a stroke. Or a fall that where they fractured something,
mm-hmm.
Or a progressive illness like Parkinson's, ALS, MS. Those clients definitely need much more services in a setting like a bathroom. They might
sure.
need the opportunity to be able to sit down while they're bathing. And so mm-hmm. something like a shower chair might help, the use of a handheld shower head so that they can maintain their independence with their activities of daily living and bathing.
Mm-hmm.
But be safer. And that combined with grab bars and a setting that's easy for them to get in and out of, for example, like a bathtub where we might cut out a section of the bathtub, which is called a product called the Tub Cut. Have you heard of that?
I've never heard of a Tub
Cut. It is phenomenal, and I wish I could say I invented it. It came out about 8 or 9 years ago up in Virginia, and what it does is it takes someone's existing bathtub, whether it's made of cast iron, porcelain, steel, acrylic, and it cuts out a section to lower the stepping in threshold down from typically a bathtub might be 15 or 16 inches high. It lowers it down to 4 or 5 inches. So it's a phenomenal option for someone who's no longer taking a soaking bath,
mm-hmm.
but is looking for a safer way to step in and out of their bathtub.
Wow.
Yeah, we do quite a few of them.
So it's like a gate?
Not a gate. It's actually cut out.
I'm picturing
it's a cutout section.
Like a U? And you just
kind of. I mean, it's more square shaped, and we can do an 18-inch cut,
uh-huh.
24-inch, or 30-inch.
So it's always there. It's always a gap there.
That's right. Huh. That's right. But here's the phenomenal part about this product. It's reversible, and it's one of the only products, as far as my knowledge, that's actually reversible. So
if you sold the house?
So if you sold the house and you didn't want it to look like a senior modified bathroom, it can be reversed. And it's done in one day. It's done in one day.
Wow.
It just has to dry overnight, and then the senior can use it the following day. And a lot of our clients are using services like Jeff's mm-hmm. with HomeWatch caregivers. And if we do a 24-inch or a 30-inch tub cut, then a senior who's got balance and stability issues can actually walk in with Jeff's caregiver side by side and step in and have a seat and manage their hygiene needs safely.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a neat invention.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We should have thought of that.
Yeah. How'd you miss that?
I know. Yeah. So you said you're a certified aging specialist. What makes you certified? Because I'm sure there's a lot to that.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually a licensed social worker, and my husband, who's the other half, I don't know if I'd say the better half, the other half of our company, who does all of our modifications, is the certified aging in place specialist.
Okay.
That was a designation that came out as a result of AARP getting together with the National Association of Home Builders about mm-hmm. 3-4 years ago, and deciding that as people are getting older and having changes in function, we need more people to be aware of what it takes. What kinds of things do you need to look for in someone's home setting to make it safer and more accessible for them? And more people are having disabilities and living longer with chronic illnesses and changes in function. So the certification just gives a more of an in-depth look and understanding of the needs of seniors, the needs of people with disabilities.
That's a great service to provide. So you go in and kind of assess it. Is there a cost for that?
Here's the great news. No.
Really?
You know, when we set up our business, we started in 2008. And I remember talking with our business coach when we started the company. And he said, you're going to charge to come out and assess someone's home, right? You have all this knowledge and skills, and you're taking the time. And I said, you know what? No, we're not going to, because cost and money is often a barrier, particularly with our seniors, who, even if they have the money, they don't want to necessarily spend it on an evaluation.
Right.
They have other priorities. Mm-hmm. And I don't want there to be a barrier or an obstacle. My goal and our goal is to get into someone's home, see what obstacles or barriers they may be having, and then come up with some solutions for them to make life better and easier for them. Keep that smile on their face.
Oh, that's so nice. That's a great, and you probably don't assess many that you don't actually do modifications to, because once you go in and suggest and people see how much better it could be.
And it's not something that they can get in at a low price. There's inexpensive fixes, too. It's not like you have to have like a remodeling job, you know, where it's like tens of thousands of dollars.
That's right. In fact, prior to our starting the company, my husband has been a home remodeler for 16 years. And if I look at the projects that he did then, finished basements, tiling of bathrooms, kitchen remodels, people were spending far more than what home modifications cost to keep someone being able to remain in their home for a lifetime. You know, the inexpensive things might be just a start, like handrails, grab bars, some threshold ramps to get over those bumps when you're walking in and out of homes. Those are not very expensive. And typically anything that we do, you know, even if somebody were to spend $10,000 to $15,000 for, let's say, a barrier-free shower or a more of a full bathroom modification, that's still significantly less than what Jeff was saying before about what they would spend monthly to go into an assisted living community.
Right, that could be 1 month in one of those deluxe.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Easily. So you mentioned that you're part of the Greater Atlanta chapter of National Aging in Place Council. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, there's a group for everything.
Yes, there is. This is one I'm particularly proud of, because I was one of the people involved with starting this up here in Atlanta in October of 2009. We are an educationally based organization whose goal is to provide the education and resources to help people remain in their homes for life, if that's their choosing. Mm-hmm. And it encompasses more than just that. It looks at the planning, you know, where you are, where your home is now. Is this the best place for you to be as you get older? Is, you know, if your neighbors have moved on and your kids are no longer around and your community isn't what it used to be, where you're living now may not be the best place for you. And start thinking about these things. Start thinking about financially, how might you pay for the things that you might need as you get older. And so we're an organization that's there to provide the resources, the support. We do a lot of community education, and we're free. People love free things, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So you go out and actually educate the elderly. So that's very interesting.
The elderly, their adult children, the baby boomers. Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. And our group, which started in 2009 with 12 charter members, I'm proud to say, is up to about 55 members.
Wow.
And that includes and encompasses people like myself who do home modifications. There's elder law attorneys. There's home care companies. There's geriatric care management and transportation services. So lots of great resources.
I imagine it's a fairly close-knit community, too.
It is. It is. They'll
probably know each other and rely on each other for different specialties.
It's a family, and I think what I have found is people stick to what they're good at and use referral partners for those services that are going to benefit their clients. I don't necessarily feel like everyone around feels like they have to do it all. There's great people out there to bring in when you need that help.
Do you have any stories you can tell us about a client that you might have helped, that, you know, how you might have changed their life and been able to keep them in their home and enhance their life through just modifications that might even be simple?
Oh, wow. Where do I begin? How much time do I have? We have a client who's getting up there in age, and she's had MS for about 20 years, and it's gone through periods where at times she was able to work. Right now she's not, and she's trying to really maintain her health. And she was having funding difficulty. She's divorced. She has no children. She's not working now. She's living off disability. And I was able to tap into a foundation resource, a grant through an MS foundation that was able to get her almost $1,000 worth of home modifications.
Wow.
Now, it wasn't a lickety-split type of process, but it was something that she was unaware of, and that I was able to use my social work knowledge and skills and desire to really help and make a difference, mm-hmm. and tap into what funding is out there to help you.
Wow.
Great.
We got
story.
Our stair lift. Yeah. There's so many. It's great. Every day it's a blessing to help everybody that we can.
That's terrific. And if any of our listeners are thinking, gosh, I'd love to learn more about that bathtub cutout or any of these other modifications, how can they reach you?
They can call me at 404-274-1488.
Terrific.
And you have a website?
We do. It's www.myaccessiblehome.com. And what's unique about our company, which is hard to see over the air, so I'll spell it out, is that we spell My Accessible Home as Access Able. It's a little play on words, because we're helping people be able to have greater independence and be able to have greater function. So it's www.myaccessiblehome.com.
Great. That is a cute play on words, too. I like that. And again, you don't just help the senior market. It's anyone that needs help.
Anyone from children with conditions like muscular dystrophies and cerebral palsy all the way through seniors. Yeah. And anyone in between.
Wow.
And it's a free assessment, right?
It is. It is. If you have questions, please call. I'd love to be a resource.
Terrific. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you.
You know, Lee, I think about the modifications to be made in a home. I remember my grandma was so big on the throw rugs.
Oh, those are like dangerous.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And then when her balance was off, and I just remember wanting to go remove all the throw rugs. I mean, that would probably be one of the first mm-hmm. things. But just being able to reach things, I mean, what a great service to offer someone that needs it, just to make their life better in their existing space. It's great. Our next guest this morning is Jonna Gardner. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show from JG Options. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So what's your specialty in this entire big picture?
Well, I'm kind of in that area that a lot of people don't like to talk about, mental health.
Okay. And why don't people like to talk about it? I mean, I'm sure it's obvious, but is it just because it's a touchy subject with folks, or taboo and people are embarrassed? What do you think is the stigma?
All of those, and particularly with our older population. You know, for many, many, many years, people went totally untreated just because of the stigma that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. A shame as though, you know, it wasn't an illness like any other illness.
And you're not just talking about dementia. You're talking about other things too, right?
Yes. Like anxiety, depression.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you serve your clients?
We're a little different than other mental health providers in that we actually go to the client. We go to their homes. And the main reason being, first of all, my background, my mom was chronically mentally ill all of my life. And you didn't even know the questions to ask, much less what to ask for. And when you see an individual in their own home, you see how they manage in their own environment. You see how they interact with their spouse or their children or their family in general. And you see an awful lot more than you could see if they were coming into your office. They could kind of be anybody they wanted to be there,
right.
Present differently than the way they ought to present.
Now, and they're probably more comfortable in their own home. Than
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you work with the elder and the family or just the senior?
We see the family, the individual, and their family as our client.
Mm-hmm. And is there a doctor's order needed? I mean, how do you go about this? So usually a family member would probably contact you. Then how do you proceed?
Actually, there's several ways that a referral can come in. They come in from mental health hospitals, geriatric psychiatrists, psychiatrists in general. But they can come from Jeff at Home Watch caregivers, or they can come from Dara at Accessible Home. They can come from attorney's offices. A private individual can refer themselves. The only time we need a doctor's referral is if the individual is in a nursing home.
And how about medications and things like that? I mean,
actually, we we're kind of the doctor's eyes and ears for medication. So we can give the doctor a call and say, you know, we think Mrs. Brown's medication, her antidepressant, is a little too much. She's responding, almost moving into mania. So we're not the specialists. We can't prescribe, but we know the medicines. We know the symptoms to look for. And we're eyes and ears, and we can help family understand, you know, why these medicines have been prescribed, or the individual themselves.
Is it a challenge to get the senior to be compliant with their medication?
At times, people are reluctant to feel dependent on medicine.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you can have others who they want to, every time a commercial comes out on TV,
they want the latest.
Absolutely. And you'd be surprised. There are doctors who comply with that.
So they use television commercials as their guide
to diagnose.
Well, that and you know, even in things like the Reader's Digest or lots of mm-hmm. magazines, they'll have a list and they'll have people check off on their list, and they'll say, well, if you say yes to three of these things, then this is the medicine for you. And they actually sometimes take that into their doctor.
Oh, God.
So you'd be surprised. You know, I used to be the director of a partial hospitalization program, a transitional program from hospital to home. And the first thing that we did when this person was on more than 10 medications, that's where we looked to begin with. Because
so
oftentimes it was the source of the problem.
More than 10 medications?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Haven't you ever 20. Seen the pill
what's
organizers?
What's the record you've seen?
27.
27?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
How do you even keep track of 27 things multiple times a day?
More importantly, how does the individual or their family keep track?
Right. And then it's like, how do you know if one thing's interacting with, you know, five other things? That's crazy.
Well, pharmacies are pretty good. They do get red flags right out of their computer system when a new med is
But what
is
if they
prescribed?
Go to multiple pharmacists?
That's all part of the MIB, the
right?
Medical Information Board.
Oh, that's all? So
well,
I can't go to three different ones?
It's actually something that we advise our families and our clients to get all of their medications from one resource,
pharmacist.
If at all possible, whenever they go into doctors to take their little brown bag of medicines or a list of the medicines,
right.
Including over-the-counter medicines.
Oh, yeah, you throw that in the mix.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. You always see someone in the waiting room mm-hmm. with that huge Ziploc bag with all the bottles, and you think, wow, I mean, how mm-hmm. do you keep track of all of that?
27, that's amazing.
That is. That really yes. is amazing. Now, does insurance pay for any of your services at all?
We are Medicare providers.
Wow.
We also work with Blue Cross and Blue Shield and the Medicare Advantage plans. There's a lot of folks that, even with the Advantage plans, you know, they have a copay for every visit, and we are, as licensed clinical social workers, we're looked upon as specialists. So that means that they have a higher rate of copay when they see us. We work with them. The other important thing, I have a tremendously dedicated staff. And I say dedicated because many of my team have had multiple, many more years than I have as a social worker, with lots of varied experience. I think that makes us makes us a stronger team because we have each other to rely on.
Sure.
But they go to these homes without payment of travel time or expense.
Wow.
So we eat that.
Wow.
But we know going to the home also brings a mental health service to a lot of folks that if they had to go someplace to get the service, they wouldn't.
How long does this therapeutic relationship last? So say you are seeing one of Jeff's clients in their home and I mean, you're going through their medications and kind of observing them. How long does it traditionally last?
It varies. Many times we're there to stabilize and help them to transition from hospital to home mm-hmm. and to help the family begin to recognize particular behaviors, signs and symptoms of relapse. So it may be a six-month interval. Usually we see them once a week for the first month, and then we start spreading the time out. But we do have many folks who are chronically mentally ill. And so we may be in, I have clients that I have been in working with them off and on, not always, certainly not weekly, maybe once a month or once every 2 months, that have been my client for 6, 7, 8 years.
Wow. I imagine you really develop a relationship with them too. And then being consistent with that patient or with that person that you're seeing, you would see changes. I mean,
right.
that's probably key. Is
right.
Yeah, gosh,
that's
yes.
why
6 or 7 years.
Yeah, the doctors must love you because you're telling them what it's really happening, not just because
yeah.
right. the patient always, yeah, I'm fine. Or, you
mm-hmm.
know,
they have
good.
10 to 15 minutes with
right.
that doctor.
Right.
But we do send them a report. When we know our client has an appointment with their doc, we send a report to the doctor of what we're seeing. You know, the pluses, the minuses,
right.
The areas of problem, if there are, or... of course, the progress that they're making. Because
sure.
we really focus on their strengths and their progress. Because many times the progress feels like a baby step, and the individual kind of ignores it. And so we are constantly reminding them.
Right, and celebrating
wow, look what
the
you
victories.
Did.
Yeah.
Yes,
mm.
yes.
That's
yeah.
a great service. And the fact that they come to the home, too, because that's such a challenge is for people to make appointments,
mm-hmm.
and especially in the city.
And especially if you're
park.
Depressed.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
imagine
no
if
doubt.
You're depressed, that's the last thing you want
right.
to do.
Yeah.
Right. Or agoraphobic, where
right.
you don't leave the house for
right.
anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're going to go in an office
yeah.
building with another
And we are a major advocate for these clients. Sometimes we have to advocate with their families.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of families who sometimes will think that this behavior, that they're just trying to be difficult. You know, they just want my attention, and they really don't recognize that these are things that mom and dad can't do anymore. They may have been a research scientist, but
right.
it's not there today. We also make lots of referrals. That's how I know Jeff. That's how I know Dara. And I'm just meeting Jonathan, but I work with his Victoria Collier. We refer to home health or home care when they're needed. We refer to elder law attorneys, lots and lots, to protect this family
right.
and these individuals. And, of course, we refer to folks who can come in. We do kind of do a little bit of a safety assessment when you're mm-hmm. talking about those throw rugs. Sometimes they don't want to get those throw rugs.
Put them on the wall.
I mean, these are
trip over them.
Yeah, these are expensive, and these are beautiful, and I bought them at a mm-hmm. special place,
oh,
and
yeah.
they don't want to give them up. But so we're referring to Dara and looking at making some suggestions about way they can make the home safer.
Now, when you're counseling the senior, how much time do you spend counseling the child of the senior that, you know, they're going to have to transition to from the role of being the child to now being the caregiver?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's mm-hmm. huge.
There are actually times when this weekend, had a family conference set up because this is a family with multiple adult children, and they're not all on the same page
mm-hmm.
as to what
right.
should happen to mom and dad. But
all you have to do is talk to the oldest daughter. That's how it works. That's what
the
I've
heard. Eldest daughter?
Well,
word has it. That's the
the eldest daughter often, you're right, and Jeff is right, has the most of the responsibility,
right.
but she has a heck of a lot of kibitz from all the rest, you
right.
know,
mm-hmm.
who aren't always there, but they know what should be done.
Right, exactly.
or what isn't.
They're not
going
to do it, but
yeah.
they know
yes.
how it should run.
Yes, yes. But on the average, we spend 45 to 50 minutes with the client. There are times when the adult caregiver sits in. And this may be a family member, or it might be somebody, Jeff's certified
right.
nursing aide that
because
is sitting in
because their input's
and
important, too. Right.
Exactly, exactly. And they see what's going on. If mom says, oh, yes, I went to the day center, or I went to the senior center 3 times last week, and the daughter is sitting there shaking her head, no.
Like, no, that was a
no.
month ago, right.
right, right. Or, no, I tried to get her there, but.
She didn't want to go,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do go into assisted livings. We go into small personal care homes. We're oftentimes the advocate there in that we will go to the activity director and say, you know what, she really wants to do these things, but she doesn't remember when things are happening. Or she,
mm-hmm.
And will you go up, knock on her door, and tell her, come on, we've got such and such going on, and you know all about that. Let's, you know.
Right.
So that extra encouragement. With the home the CNA that is working in the home. Sometimes we're helping the CNA because we can see her stress level and we're giving little tips about how to deal with this particular behavior of the individual that it's kind of put up a barrier for her to help this lady.
I'm getting warm fuzzies now. What seemed what seems kind of intimidating, you think about all of the responsibilities, and I'm not the eldest daughter, but I'm the youngest daughter. But if you think about all those, and how do you sift through all the options and pull them all together and put all the pieces of the puzzle together? And it's great having resources and teams of people like this that do it together.
Well, you don't know what you don't know, and then especially you factor in the people that aren't even in town, and they're, it just gets extremely difficult.
And the fact that insurance will pay for it. I mean, that's another thing. I think sometimes people think that these services are so expensive, but there is help.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. And one other thing that is important is there are a number of senior networks, senior provider networks, where we get an opportunity. The different counties have them, and that's how we get to know each other. Dara and I go back a long way. We worked hospice together. But some of the other folks I've met through these senior provider networks. So we keep each other abreast of changes that are happening in our business, how we're expanding. JG Options right now is servicing all 13 metropolitan counties. One of the things, our caregivers live in different parts of the city, so they work the area they live in. Because as I said, they eat the cost of the travel, so we try to make special arrangements so travel isn't 50 miles one way.
Wow. And how long have you been in business?
I actually started this in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
It was the year my mom died, and I had been thinking about this and thinking about this because I was working in a geriatric psychiatric hospital at the time. I went and talked with the psychiatrist there, who encouraged me, Dr. Figel, Dr. Pack. I decided at that time that if I was going to do it, I better, because I'm heading for 70 right now. Mm-hmm. So I am one of those elders. And with the baby boomers coming on, and there's a much higher percentage of baby boomers who did not have children.
Interesting. That's so true, because there are a lot of folks that either waited to have kids or just didn't have them. Who would have thought of that?
Yeah.
And having fewer children, too.
Right.
Which leaves more responsibility to the family that's left behind. I love your success story. Maybe let our listeners know, when you thought about starting the company, you obviously had mentors that encouraged you, but what was the big step that pushed you over and went from an idea to an actual, let me do this, I'm going to do it? Is there something that just a switch that went off, or what gave you the courage? Because it's hard for people to come up with this concept and then just go out on their own. It's a big step.
Two things. One was the fact of the struggles I had myself as a caregiver, and thinking that what I learned and my struggle would be ever so much more important if I took what I had learned and used it to help others. Mm-hmm. Other caregivers. The other one, the other step was, as a licensed clinical social worker, there's a lot of folks who have absolutely no idea what a social worker does or why we're different than other kinds of mental health providers. We look at the big picture. And what the big picture I saw out there was decreasing services for the elderly. More problems with transportation. You'd already mentioned how many families don't live in even the same city, community. Used to be your whole family was in the same little town. Just the changes that occurred. And to be honest, almost every organization that I worked with, both profit and nonprofit, social workers were kind of the odd man out. We're not really part of the medical community for many people. We think differently. And I always felt alone. I always felt as though I was kind of the red-headed stepchild. And I decided that I wanted to create an organization a team of social workers. We benefit from each other's knowledge. We also support each other. And so nobody goes out there without having, they have a list of every other social worker in our team and a few others that they know. It's a small family, and I know Dara can speak to that. But we're a powerful group of people, and you put us all together, and you can't stop us.
Wow. That's wonderful. Great success story. And we do get a lot of questions from listeners and a lot of people that will write in. And people are hungry for those stories because they have a passion and it's just what takes them to the next level. That's a great story.
My doctor just says I have to be careful because when I get passionate, my blood pressure goes up.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, Jonna, give us the information for your website or how folks can contact you.
Very, very simple. We don't have a website. Yeah, but all they have to do is call our office, JG Options office, at 770-414-9742. And by the way, there is a number on that number. You can actually reach somebody in my team 24 hours a day.
Wow. That's great. And with a team of folks, you probably just pass that responsibility on, so not everybody's on all the time.
Right.
That's great. Wonderful story. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, again, Lee, you were mentioning sometimes you don't even know enough to know what questions to ask.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't have even known that a service like that exists. What a great service. Our final guest this morning, you got to have a lawyer. You got to have an attorney when you're talking about anything these days.
Absolutely.
And they specialize in all kinds of things. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. We have Jonathan Sinclair. Welcome.
Great. Thank you for having me, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've got to ask you the same question I've asked everyone else. What made you want to specialize in this particular niche market?
Well, I have a background in finance.
That makes sense.
Right. Right. So before I went to law school, I actually worked in the 401k industry for a couple of years. I did consulting and did trust accounting. And so I saw this swath of people that were, you know, building up their nest egg in their 401k. And then when they retired, we still administered those accounts, and we'd start seeing those balance go down. You know, they were taking required distributions or just having to use those funds. And so I thought, well, when I went back to law school, I decided to make a career change. I thought I either wanted to do more in the line of the law that covered 401k plans, which makes even accountants and attorneys seem like a lively group if you talk about that area of law, or I found out about elder law. And so elder law really bridges the gap between what you consider like traditional like financial planning and estate planning, whereas we're not dealing with what necessarily happened, you know, to build your nest egg or what happens when it passes, when you pass, although that's important. We kind of deal with that gap in between of how do we make what you have last? How do we get you the resources you need? You know, can we keep you in your house longer if that's what you want? If you want to go to a facility, what can we do to help with those?
So resources, you define resources broader than just their 401k.
Right,
it's
absolutely.
Like their quality of life, things like that.
Correct, yeah. The quality of life is really what we focus on. You know, if we can preserve assets, that's always a bonus. But we always tell our clients when they come in, especially if we're meeting with children, that, you know, that's an excellent goal to have. Providing for quality of life is
the priority is the senior, not the senior's family.
Absolutely. Right. That, yeah, we're always focused on the...
That must be some interesting conversations from that.
I imagine.
Surprisingly, very, very rarely do we have to direct somebody back to the door and say that they need to find someone else because of that. Most of the time, if they've come to our office, they know why we're there and they're looking out for their parents.
Define elder care, though. I mean, elder care law. I mean, you kind of said what that encompasses, but... who would contact you? Would I contact you about my parents, or would I contact you now about me when I'm older?
It can be both, actually.
Okay.
For your parents, they probably have more immediate needs. They may need, you know, if they don't have documents in place, they would definitely want to have documents in place, like powers of attorney, things like that. If someone's a veteran, we can help them get veterans benefits, which will help provide for a married couple up to $1,949 per month of tax-free income to help offset the cost of care, so that someone like Jeff and his care workers can come in and provide additional care in the home. Beyond that, someone that's younger like you could start putting a plan in place so that when you did get older, if you were or had a disability, you would already have that documentation in place and be ready to have a seamless transition if you had any sort of change in life.
At what age should a person like Amy and my age start kind of.
Right. Although I'm never getting old, Lee.
I know, but
I'm like, hoping to grow up.
You know, 60, 70, like at what point should we start talking to you?
We have clients that are in their, 30s, 40s.
30s?
Yeah.
Really?
People start doing planning. Now, are they as concerned about some of the immediate needs? Right. Probably not. Or they need just basic documents. A lot of times it's if there's been any sort of change in life, a child's been born, marriage, anything like that, they want to review some documents, or if they don't have them, get that first set of documents in place. And I use documents broadly when we're talking about all this, estate planning documents, whether it's a trust, powers of attorney, or a will.
Especially when you think about long-term care and those options, you need to start thinking about that when you're our age, because we're still healthy and
premiums, when the rates are good.
Yeah, premiums and things are still lower. But
absolutely, and with that, long-term care insurance, people always ask me if that's a good idea or not, and I think absolutely it is. And especially the younger, the cheaper that premium is going to be. So it's always a good idea to look into as young as possible.
Mm-hmm. And usually, what flips that switch in someone's brain is watching a parent that didn't have it.
Right.
So then they realize, wow, I really need to put something in place now. Mm-hmm. So walk us through how you might help a client. Say, just this scenario, I come to you because my mom is 75. And how would you start us? I mean, say she isn't in immediate need of any type of assistance center. I mean, what are some of the documents and things you're talking about that you would help me put in place for my family?
Sure. That's an ideal situation right there where we can go ahead and put like an advance directive for health care and a power of attorney for financial decisions in place at that point in time. Hopefully at that point, she still has the cognitive ability to sign documents.
Oh, she's cognitive and all right and feisty. And yeah,
excellent.
But still, I mean, at 75, you think about 10 years from now, that won't be the case most likely. So.
Well, it's hard to tell. Age is, while it is a determining factor in a lot of cases, we've had clients that were as old as 106 and still had their cognitive abilities. And that was, I think the oldest client we've had.
Wow.
And so it's not necessarily a function of age alone, but it's certainly something that while you know you have that, like I have the documents in place at my age, I'm 31. And so by doing it now, I know at some point in the future, I don't have to worry about my wife or my son once he obtains an age that he'll have to go and get separate documents or go to court. That's the biggest advantage, is that you don't have to go to court and get a guardianship or a conservatorship, which is when the court tells you that you can manage your whoever you've asked for, if it's a family member or not, their affairs.
And so is that the initial point of entry for you and your clients typically? Are these kind of preventative forms?
Right. They come to most of our clients come one of two ways, whether it's preventative, we're looking for the ounce of medicine, or it's the pound of cure on the other side where they've had some sort of crisis moment.
Right.
Mom or dad has had a fall or a stroke or something. They've gone to a hospital. They're looking to be discharged. And so their family's trying to weigh what options they have.
Right.
They're probably working with a discharge planner at the hospital. They may be, the desire may be to bring mom or dad back home. And so we're working with other resources to see if that's a viable option. And if it is, and that's what their desire is, we, hopefully can try to get them, if it's a veteran or somebody in the family or spouse of a veteran, widow or widower, we definitely have female veterans as well. We try to avail them of that option as well to help pay for in-home care. If they need to go to a facility for some reason, then we can also help with that as well.
So there's a lot of care available for veterans?
Correct.
That maybe they're not aware of or they're not taking full advantage of?
Right. The VA who manages all the veteran benefits, everyone's familiar with, they have, the funerals and can help with all the grave sites. But they don't always know about the pension that they have. And it's not a pension like you or I would have through retirement. It's more of a pension for what they call low income. And it's essentially when someone has enough medical bills to offset their income, the VA will give them essentially a subsidy to help pay for those medical bills. They look at what's considered regular recurring, and things like in-home health care, assisted living costs, nursing home costs would all count towards that.
Again, one of those resources that you probably don't know about unless you meet someone like yourself,
Right. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on which side you look at it, the VA doesn't go out and advertise this. They probably should. It should be, because when a veteran gets out of the service, they're typically younger. They're more concerned with having life insurance if they have a family or getting a home loan. Those are the two biggest benefits they usually avail themselves of. And so they don't think, 20, 30, 50 years down the line, well, I need this pension. And so they don't think about it at that time.
Now, isn't it, I've heard it's difficult to kind of navigate the VA paperwork and stuff. Do you guys help with that?
We do. We have a couple different things we do. For our ongoing clients, we'll actually help with all the paperwork. No one can charge for that. That's important to note. There are some people out there that do charge. And so, you know, for any of the listeners out there, please never pay anybody to do VA forms for you. Mm-hmm. We have software that we can loan out to people that will get them the forms for free and kind of guide them through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can contact our office and we can send that out to them. Outside of that, you know, there's other resources. There's veteran service organizations in the state that will do that as well for you.
Now, does your firm only handle VA questions that are here in Georgia, or are they kind of any state?
VA is federal law, and we can do that in any state. As far as other questions people may have with estate planning or guardianship, special Georgia. Needs trust, all those kind of things would be specific to Georgia.
What are some of the most common mistakes you see people make?
Unfortunately, we hear a lot in our office, if I had only known. For example, with like Medicaid planning, if we're working with the family to try to get someone in a nursing facility on Medicaid, they may have already made transfers or they're worried about what's going to happen to the house. If we're involved early enough, we can try to preserve either 50% generally or 100% of their assets to help provide for additional care, whether that's a caregiver actually coming in to help in the facility or if that's like a private room so they have a little more quality of life, we can preserve those assets. Now, if they come to us late, they may have already made transfers.
Mm-hmm.
The facility may have already, you know, in good intentions, filed for them and may cause bigger issues down the road. And so
that's you want to get that done earlier than later. You don't want that to happen during a crisis mode. It's too late at that point.
It's not necessarily too late, but what we see is that the people who try to, the do-it-yourselfers, either that, you know, they try to get the documents off the internet.
Like LegalZoom.
Right. Things like that.
They watch the YouTube video and then, yeah.
How hard
yeah,
could it be?
Exactly. We get a lot of questions or someone says, you know, I typed this one up myself.
Right.
And can you look at it? And sometimes I've seen some amazingly well-drafted documents that way. It's just a matter of they don't always include certain things they have to have in Georgia or their family once they pass or whatever would like for those documents to have.
Wow. So you say sometimes people say, if I had only known, mm-hmm. what's the best way for people to reach you so that they can know before it's too late and maybe start planning, like you said, if they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or if they have the immediate need with an elder parent, what's the best way for folks to reach you?
Sure. They can find us on the internet at elderlawgeorgia.com, and that's all spelled out. So it's elderlawgeorgia.com. It's a little test for me right there to make sure I can still
there
spell.
Why is it that when people spell out loud, they look up?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something about that.
They're reading it.
I'm looking for guidance from above. The other.
It's so true. I mean, everybody that spells out their website, they kind of look up.
That's mm-hmm. where it's written.
I guess it
is. Right. Otherwise, they can catch us on the phone at 404-370-0696. And, you know, if they're just curious about getting information, they want to know more about either long-term care planning or estate planning or anything like that. We have free workshops, or I guess, you know, no one wants to be put to work, so we should call it an educational seminar that we're doing about twice a week now. And so if they call in,
there's that much demand for that?
Yeah, we see a lot of demand. You know, people need to know the information. We just want to get it out there. If there's two people that show up or 10 people or 20 people, we're always there to give the information. So we're doing that twice a week now. If they call in and talk to anybody in our office, they can get them set up on the next one.
Terrific. And where is your office? Where do folks come for those opportunities?
We're located in Decatur. We're about a block off the square in the Fidelity Bank building. But we do have clients throughout the state. Mm-hmm. So we're more than happy to travel. If someone's got mobility issues or anything like that, we do, you know, home visits and everything else.
Terrific. Great information. Thanks for being our guest today, Jonathan.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Jeff, thanks for bringing this wonderful group of folks together. I mean, it's an interesting, tight-knit community, and I do like the fact that everybody specializes in something a little bit different. Any final thoughts from you? I mean, where do you see yourself in this industry 5 years from now? People are going to continue to age. You're going to continue to fill your pipeline, but where do you see the market going, or any big changes? Where do you want to see yourself?
The baby boomers, as everybody likes to refer in the business, you know, they're just now starting to get to the age where they need all of the services that we discussed here today. So, I just anticipate there'll be more and more people that will need help, and they're living longer. And you know, they need help. There's only so many places they can go. They're typically happiest in the home, and that's where a lot of us like to work with our clients, is in the home.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks for being our guest today, everyone.
Great show. Great information.
Yeah. It's a lot of important information today.
That's right. And to all of our listeners, until next week, I'm Amy Otto, and have a wonderful week.